whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Trades are hard.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Trades are hard.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First North College Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First North College Financing at the dealer. Maybe a good thing to chat isn't open anymore. Today would have been an absolute you-know-what show. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, tweeted this at 7:15. Very intriguing. Very notable scene minutes after the Warriors' horrible loss last night in the hallway as reporters walked by. Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy Jr. in a deep conversation. Lacob was doing most of the talking. They meet after games all the time, but not usually right where we walk by. So, I don't know if there's anything to that, but they're definitely having a conversation after two embarrassing losses, empty seats in the third and fourth quarter, fans leaving early. Not a lot of energy. You mentioned the Shasky that they're not a good watch right now for the consumer. Something's got to shake. But what is shaking? What is going to shake? I don't know.
You know, I was texting around with buddies, and the boss was texting me, and he's like losing his mind. And I'm like, it doesn't make for compelling radio because I know people want answers and they want ideas, and a lot of fans do too. We went to 6 finals. We won 4. Do you know how spoiled we are?
Well,
I just most teams never get to 1. Most great players are lucky to get to the finals. You know? And I look at someone like Dirk Nowitzki, you know? He got the 1 championship. It's just like the crowning achievement of his entire career. Very few cities, organizations, triplets get multiple cracks at it. You know, there's a part of me that wants to tell all Warrior fans, come on, it's over, it's okay. Let's just enjoy the last couple years of Steph as he's slowly starting to fade. Now, I know that's not the normal NBA because all these guys want to bounce and leave it. Yeah, but Steph's not the normal superstar. Now, maybe he one day wants to hit the parachute button and eject himself on out of here. But there's another part of me that's kind of like, I don't think we should exhaust all of our options currently or past Steph Curry to just chase a fake run at the 6th seed. Like, I'm going to be a Warrior fan for the rest of my life. I'm not going anywhere. I'm extremely grateful and appreciative of the 6 finals appearances and the 4 championships. Would I like them to get another one? Of course I would. But I think that they have tried really hard. And I think that there's been a lot of deals that were on the table that they said no to that I would have said no to as well. And I think the hard part is it sucks that it's coming to an end. And people are unwilling to accept that. Nothing lasts forever. You know, and I really want to have those conversations, but I don't think the lines light up like that.
No, I'm here for those conversations. I mentioned yesterday, Shasky, and I said it wouldn't be popular. And I saw things online as I was browsing through after the game when I got home where people were like, you know, this thing you know, people are going to want to just say, look, I didn't want Paul George. I didn't want marketing. I didn't want them to do anything. I wanted to stay pat. Get your finances in order and see what shook. And see where the seed would be at, closer to the deadline. Now we're getting closer to the deadline, and if Jimmy Butler's the only guy available, then I think it behooves the Warriors to stand pat and wait until the summer to start doing some things. Because if this season is cooked, then what's the point of moving any asset? Save your assets. Save them. Now, people are not going to want to lose. Look, I don't like watching losers. I have to do the postgame show, for crying out loud. Think I want to do a post-game show after a loss 45 times a year? You think I want to do that? Think I want to dress things up or say, man, well, you know, this guy played well and try to spin something positive? Come on, man. Nobody wants to lose, but we're not just spoiled with the Warriors. I mentioned this before Christmas. We've been spoiled as a region.
Well, yeah.
As a region, we've been spoiled. Because starting in 2010, the Giants win 3-5. They make another playoff run in 2016. Then they won 107 in 2021.
They also haven't won a playoff series in a decade, but continue.
But we got spoiled with that.
No doubt.
But that, with the Giants, that's just the Giants.
Yes.
Then you think, okay, the Giants, they're not winning playoff series, or they're not winning games.
Well, they haven't won a playoff series since 2014.
It's a decade. They won a wild card in 2016. However, while they're not winning playoff series, the 49ers are ascending. Yeah. The Warriors are ascending.
Seven championship games in 15 years.
The Sharks. They had a hell of a run with Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
Jonathan Chichu, Patrick Marleau. They had a hell of a run. The A's. Who do you know? The A's won some division titles. They made a wild card game or two. So in this region, for 13 years, outside of Boston, who had championships from Tom Brady and the Patriots, Belichick.
And the Red Sox.
The Boston Bruins, the Red Sox, the Celtics got one. Outside of Boston, what region in America has had it better than the Bay Area?
Alabama football. I mean, we're not talking about a very, you know, deep group of, I mean, certainly not Chicago, certainly not New York. You know, certainly not L.A., although L.A. has been, the Dodgers have been excellent throughout that entire period. But I get what you're saying.
So,
But I also think that for the Warriors, because you named all the teams, I'm looking at the Warriors, similar to Michael Jordan and LeBron, like the NBA has this thing where there are player fans. I am a fan of Steph. And I think that's heightened this whole chaos and seeing all these other superstars during his tenure in the NBA just jump ship and exhaust all options for a team and then like a locust go to the next plant and exhaust all options and then jump to the next thing and almost like they're planet hopping. Like, no, the reality is prior to the player empowerment movement era, this is how it ended. Kind of ugly. Does anyone remember the Detroit Pistons at the end?
It's not pretty.
You know, I'm talking about the late 80s, you know, early 90s Detroit Pistons.
Even the Ben Wallace Pistons.
Yeah.
Once LeBron James bounced them out of the Eastern Conference Finals, they were never the same. Never the same. So, you know what? Like, we got to, yes, there's going to be some hard times. And right now the Bay Area is having some hard times. But we're going to find out the character of not only the players, the coaches, the organizations, but I'm eager to see the character of the fan bases. I'm really intrigued with that because I see a lot of flipping and flopping and a lot of kicking and screaming. And you know what? Let's just chill for a second.
Well, there's a lot of whiners. You know?
There's a lot of whiners.
That
honestly has been bothering me over the last few months. Seeing how many people just whine left and right about this. Fire this guy this day. Fire that guy this day. AP had the greatest line, and he got fired yesterday for crying out loud. But he had a line in his last presser. You know, AP this, AP that, when we win. And then when we lose, get his ass out of here. Well, you know what, AP? They got your ass out of here. But that's I'm looking at the fans because we talk to the fans. I talk to the fans all the time. Yeah. And I remember what it was like when the Warriors were 12-3. I remember walking into the Bruce Mahoney game, and that guy who listens to the show, I don't even remember his name. Then we had a caller. It was a caller and a guy I ran into at the Bruce Mahoney game. The caller brought up, if we had Klay Thompson, we would have blown that lead. We had Klay this and that. And I was like, okay, all right, great. It's spoiler Trailblazers. They're playing better now. But that did. It's like, all right, great, dude. And then I go into the Bruce Mahoney game, and I'm like, Buddy Hield. Oh, my gosh. Buddy this and Buddy that. We haven't fielded a Buddy Hield call in 5 weeks. 5 weeks. So that's what I talk about when we talk when it's all good, but when the losses mount up, people go ducking and hiding.
Well,
I want to see the character of the real fans. This is where the real fans are going to rise to the top.
It's a great point, but this is where I do find myself conflicted. You can't charge championship prices for a mediocre team, right? And so that's the nuance here. And so your point about like the real
prices
fans
are going to drop if they continue to lose. That happens.
Yes.
It happened with the Niners. It happened with the Giants.
Yeah, no doubt. But not right now, right? And so I just know like this. Like I went to the game the other day with my wife, okay? Do you think my wife had fun at the game? No, they won the game. But do you think she had fun? She had a great time. Not once did the word NBA Finals, Larry O'Brien, championship, none of those things come to mind. I've taken countless kids to the game. Do you know how many times, like, oh, is this team a champion? It never comes up when you're at the game.
No.
only online for a large segment of people, like this desperation to move heaven and earth, for some Band-Aid on the gunshot wound. Most people are just having a good time watching the games. And yeah, it sucks when they're not that good. Yep. And it is a tough product to watch on a nightly basis.
Yep.
But the reality is that we're really spoiled, and it's okay to say that.
And you know
me
what?
Me included.
But you know what, though? I'm not going to stop watching, because when the Warriors are bad, I like to see other teams. Okay, maybe the Warriors can pluck this from another team. Like, when OKC was rising to the top and everybody's laughing at me talking about them, and now they're the cream of the crop. Remember, we had the conversation during the crossover. You did, and Willard was teasing me about OKC. I was like, man, I'm telling you, man, they're a fun watch. They're coming. And now they're 30-5, about to take out the Cleveland Cavaliers today in a marquee NBA game.
Better shot.
I like watching other teams come in and see what they have, like the Heat. Watching Jokic, I was like, damn, this is an interesting prospect. This kid can play. He's tough. This weird kid, athletic. So don't stop watching because your team loses, basically my point. Let's see who the real fans are. Because we can see who's going to quit on the court or on the football field or on the baseball diamond or on the rink, on the ice. What about their fans? Because I don't want to see anything here. Hey, man, this and that, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you get a bad organization like Farhan Zaidi, I watch the Giants, but I wasn't paying for the product. And you have that choice to not pay for the product.
They finished over 500 once.
Right.
That's different. The Warriors have finished over 500 a couple times. The hard part is seeing your favorite players age in front of your eyes. They're never going to be beautiful. It's just never going to age gracefully. And Steph's aging more gracefully than Draymond. But the reality is that it's really difficult to make moves. And let's just call it what it is. They hung on a little too long to some of these guys.
Yep. All right. Let's bang out these phone calls before we get to Bat Lively. Talk some 49ers. Read an interesting article in the Chronicle about Nick Sorensen. And boy, he got fired. And who would have saw that coming?
I can't believe
fans were begging for Steve Wilks back. That's how bad Nick Sorensen
is. Well, I keep saying, like, oh, they're going to interview Robert Saleh. No.
What a scheme change.
We need to go in a new direction.
Yeah.
No. We're not doing that. You're not getting back with the old fling. All right, he had one good year here, and I like Robert Saleh.
I need something new bad. Did you know Week Martindale drafted Kirk Morrison? I was lying.
That's
I was
random.
Like, I want Week. No, because I was like, I want Week of Sweet Lou.
Okay.
Right. And he randomly texts, Week ain't leaving, fam. That's my dog. He drafted me. He ain't leaving. I'm like, I want Wink. I want some blitzing. Like our boy Ethan Castle, who covers high school sports, he goes, oh, all he does is blitz. Well, you know what? It's something different. You know? Give me some exotic blitzes for crying out loud.
Well, I know what Sorensen does.
There's nothing you can do about it.
He doesn't blitz.
Anything.
And he blitzed one time against Gino and got burned at the end. Let's go to Mystic in the city. Mystic, what's happening?
Hey, guys. This is a sad day. Because, you know, growing up in the Bay Area, going all the way back to the 80s, we have been spoiled. Raiders, Niners all winning, Giants and A's winning. I mean, this is hard to watch. And the Splash Brothers has been the greatest era of my sports fan career growing up in this area. So, here's the big problem. They overvalued Draymond a couple of years ago. They should have moved off of him. Now he's bringing nothing to the table. I mean, he's a loud voice who calls himself a leader, who teammates kind of roll their eyes at sometimes. He put up a quadruple zero, and last night, I wasn't impressed. To me, he needs to go down to 20 minutes a night so he can be effective, and he needs to stop blocking Kuminga at the four. The way out of this, Steph too. Steph is no longer able to take you through the regular season anymore. He's not even, as a matter of fact, there's only two players worth watching, Steph and Kuminga. So the best thing the Warriors can do, in my opinion right now, pay Kuminga. Lock his butt up so he goes nowhere, and then begin to turn the page and start building around him. They waited too long to start giving him the ball in the fourth quarter, and now they're still bringing him off the bench. He's finally ascending, but he's hurt now, so I can't wait for him to get back. They need to just feed more and more to Kuminga and start turning the page on Steph and Dre. And I'm sorry, Dre. I loved you. You were great. But now you're a 20-minute-a-night player, man. That's it.
I felt that way for a long time.
BPA, what's up? BPA, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? I think that this is different, you know, when you talk about the fact that Steph's the
player in the history of the Bay Area who turned around one of the most pathetic franchises in the history of the Bay Area and made them the second most valuable franchise in professional sports. He did that. That's the reason why he's the brand.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Part of these franchise valuations on Forbes is also because of the property that they built and that they own at Chase Center. That's baked into how they do asset valuations. So in part, yes, absolutely, Steph Curry plays a huge hand in that. But also them putting their money where their mouth is and building an absolute gem of a place on the waterfront does also factor into that. If they were at Oracle, it would not be the same valuation.
Okay. They would still be one of the highest valued franchises in all professional sports, even if they weren't in Chase Center. They would be. That's a factual statement, right? Because they have the most popular player in modern basketball, maybe in the top three ever in the history of the NBA, who has really changed the sport. And so it is a little bit different, right? Like, it's probably more comparable maybe to, like, Montana when he was leaving and how people felt about that. But, yeah, in the last 2 years, like, you look at the, you know, the attrition in the front office from a talent standpoint, you can't give them credit for what they were 10 years ago. Like, what's in the front office now is Lacob's kids and Mike Dunleavy. And that's not, I'm sorry, like, I have more belief that Steph could do something with any kind of help than in that front office cobbling together a contender again without him. So that's just my personal opinion. I think most Warrior fans feel the same. And, yeah, it's disappointing. You know, they tease a lot of trades, a lot of deals. Don't worry, you know, that's coming from them. When they talk about how we want to get LeBron, or we want to get KD, or we want to get Giannis, or we want to do this, we keep pushing the kicking the can down the road, which they've done for 2 years. We're committed to Steph. We want to maximize the Steph timeline. But they, you know, you can't say they tried. We said Farhan tried. You don't get credit for trying. You also don't get credit, Mike Dunleavy, for the accomplishments of people in the front office 10 years earlier. So that's my take. I think Lacob wants to go down, you know, sort of on a Jerry Jones Lacob type legacy. He wants to employ his kids, let him play GM. Okay, great. You're the owner. But, you know, there will be consequences for him on that front. That's my take. Have a great day, guys.
Where are people at on Lacob? Because I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Joe Lacob. A lot. SFK.
The valuation thing but drives me like crazy. You know why? So let's say you buy a house, right?
Let's stay focused on the boys.
No, because people think that it's yes, they're making money hand over fist, but this thing that the valuation, all of a sudden they can just pull $9 billion out of their butt. That's not how it works. That's the value of all the things that they have.
I don't think people think that. I don't think people necessarily think that. But I want to get to Joe Lacob. Because there's an article at SFGate yesterday, basically slandered the hell out of him. And a lot of people think that Joe Lacob wants to win his way, and he wants to win without staff, or what I'm saying, whatever. He's not serious about winning or whatnot. How are people viewing Joe Lacob right now? Because 2 years ago, somebody on Twitter just randomly had a cut. Somebody said this, look at you and Shasky. And we're talking about, and he's like, I want to win. I want to win now. And you're like, man, I love this. Joe Lacob, you're the fans love you. Well, right now, I don't see a lot of fan love for Joe Lacob. So where are you at with Joe Lacob before we take some calls here?
I mean, I think that Joe Lacob's done a great job. Is he a little crazy? Yeah. I think that his resume speaks for itself currently. I do think that he's in on all these deals. I think he's trying to swing deals. I think a lot of teams around the league don't want to do a deal with the Warriors either. Like, yeah. That's another aspect I think we underrate is I think a lot of teams are like, nah, dude, screw you.
Yeah.
You've had a stranglehold on the league forever. Absolutely. In the same way nobody wanted to do a deal with New England for the longest time, I feel like no one wants to do a deal with the Golden State Warriors unless they are truly getting over completely.
Yeah, but I felt like that for quite some time. I felt like that for quite some time where you dominated the league and like, relax. Really, and then the light years comment, even though it was so long ago, and Joe Lacob doesn't like to bring it up because he's just like, dude, I think in some way he wants to take that back. But that ticked a lot of people off around the league. Like, oh, you guys are light years ahead? So they've been waiting for this day. They've been waiting for this day. Or the Warriors are looking up at the standing saying, boy, we need a lifeline. And other teams are like, yeah, we're going this way. We're not going your way. We're going the other way. And so I don't think Joe Lacob's a bad owner. I mean, when you're spending luxury tax money out the... We were talking about OKC and luxury tax a decade ago. James Harden got traded because they didn't want to put Pony over $6 million. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You think that would have happened with Joe Lacob?
No.
Absolutely not. So I don't think he's a bad owner, but they're struggling right now.
They also put in rules while things were in place financially for their team that made it way more trickier for them to keep things together and can continue to go under the repeater tax. I think one of the big misnomers.
Warriors rule. It's like the salary cap is a 49er rule, right?
It was.
It's pretty crazy.
But like, one of the big things, again, it's a huge misnomer. Everyone's like, well, they should have went in the repeater tax. Once you go into the repeater tax multiple years in a row, every draft pick is frozen for X amount of years moving forward. Yep. So all of these trades become even more difficult because you can't just staple draft picks to it. I mean, literally people who are paid to cover the league and understand the CBA are learning new nuances of how difficult it is on an hourly basis.
Yep, yep. Let's go to Pinal in San Mateo. Pinal, what's happening?
Hey, guys. An idea I had was kicking the tires on Marcus Smart. I think he's a junior version of Draymond. Maybe a little bit cheaper. I'm just not sure if that is plausible, which is a thought I had. Thanks, guys.
Marcus Smart, I think he's going to stay in Memphis. The Warriors need offense. They need shooting. I don't know if Marcus Smart helps you in that department. He plays hard, but I don't know if Marcus Smart is a good fit here.
Trades are hard.
He's a solid player, but I mean, they need more than that.
They need
to appease the bloodthirsty fandom of championships. That's not good enough.
Yeah, no. Rich and Billy Bones. We'll get to you on the other side before Matt Lively here. We'll wrap up these Warrior calls. We'll get to Matt Lively. Talk some Niners. Nick Sorensen. God. Brian Snyder. God. What's next? Robert Saleh coming back? We'll do that with Matt Lively. But first, Billy Bob and Richie and Rich in Daly City. We'll get to you guys on the other side. That'll be brought to you by LifeSource Water System.
City. You are now listening to the morning motherfucking rogues with my boys Vontae and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What up, Big Pun? What up, everybody out there? Before we get to Matt Lively, let's get to Billy Bones in the city. Billy Bones, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. We got to play Kuminga, man. Kuminga showed that he's ready. If you guys go back to that sack game when he didn't, when they didn't play him, he didn't come in or whatever, they holding this guy back. Who knows if he would have played, we would probably be in a different position or his growth would probably be even more so. We're in a situation right now, we're in a passing of the torch. We got to get rid of Dre. He's a cancer right now more than a attribute. I'm going to keep it real. When he yelled at Buddy Hield that game, I mean, rightfully so, but he did it in front. It was in a way that it takes morale out. I don't think it boosted confidence in Hield. You know what I mean? Right now, would you say that Hield is playing confident basketball right now?
He hasn't played confident basketball for about 5 weeks.
Your name is Billy Bones?
Yeah, you know what? I met you guys at the Olympic Club one time at GP2's
nice.
Foundation.
Oh, fight night.
Yeah, man, I met you guys there. You guys are cool peeps, bro.
I've been calling.
I usually call in the Steiny and Guru because I have more time there. But anyway, man, the Warriors, bro, it's a passing of the guards. They did it with Monte to Curry. Now is Dre Curry to Kuminga. One more thing. How did we even get to this spot? It wasn't through free agency, bro. It was through the draft.
Yeah.
So we need some rim protection. TJ, Davis. He's a good rim protector, but I don't know, man. We need a bigger presence.
Yeah, he's only 6'9". He's a good player. I see him more as a fringe starter backup.
Yeah.
Billy Bones, though. You know, when I think Billy Bones, I think Treasure Island. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. I've never watched Treasure Island.
I think of Muppets Treasure Island.
The only Treasure Island I know is the Treasure Island right here by the Bay
Bridge.
You
never read Robert Louis Stevenson's book?
No, never. Treasure Island? No.
He's the opening character.
No, never read Treasure Island.
You never saw Black Sails on AMC?
No.
Classic.
No.
God.
No.
Am I the only one that knew Billy Bones from Treasure Island?
Maybe Matt Lively did. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
Risotto's
sorry.
A well-read man. Did he?
I'm a sports junkie. And when I say I'm a sports junkie, it's nothing but sports.
You're also the one with probably the most education in the room here.
In terms of just sports?
No, just in general.
I'm not the most educated.
Well, there's three SF State bachelor grads in here. So
it's just because you got a degree.
And I'm not
there's
one
a
of
lot.
Them.
There's a lot of W's who have degrees. Trust me. A lot of W's with degrees.
Billy Bones is like the main character at the beginning, if you will, of Treasure Island.
I never watched Treasure Island. When did that movie come out?
Classic book.
When did that movie come out?
It's a book.
It's a book, sorry.
Yeah, Robert Louis Stevenson, like the Grammar School and the Sunset.
Okay, yeah. All right. There's this Robert Stevenson?
Yeah, Robert Louis Stevenson School. Yeah.
Where? When did that come out, the Sunset?
That's been there forever.
I've never heard of that.
Also one in Pebble Beach.
Oh, is it?
The boarding school.
Yeah, so they had this like concrete like play yard we used to hit home runs.
Is it next to APG&E?
It's like off of, what is it? So it's off of Terravel, a couple of, like, Santiago and something. Yeah, you got to Google it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Trent.
Let's see. Oh, Matt Lively. Yeah, Matt Lively was in the locker room the other day, and he joins us on the River Islands guest line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Latham? Matt, I know you're going to be at Chase soon. What do you think about the Warriors before we get to the Niners?
I was at Chase on Sunday night. When they lost to the Kings, by the way, worst loss to the Kings since November 8th, 2000. And all I could think about was they are wasting Steph Curry's last few years with this. It is so ugly. The best part about being at Chase on Sunday night was the chicken they served before the game.
Chicken was good. Chicken, I didn't have it. I looked at it, tried to watch my weight, but I the chicken did look
good. How many wins do you think the 2000 Warriors had?
19? 20?
Yeah,
21?
Exactly.
Not a lot.
This team right now, 18 and 18.
They're wasting Steph's prime.
I don't think they went
to six finals.
And he's not
it's
in his
not
prime
normal.
Anymore. But, you know, the Warriors are 12 and 3. They started 12 and 3. They're 6 and 15. All right, moving on to the Niners. Nick Sorensen fired. Brian Snyder fired. Did you get a sense that Nick Sorensen would get fired when you were talking to the players in the locker room the other day?
Yeah, oddly enough, that question didn't come up on Sunday. I'm sorry, on Monday when we were in there. On Sunday when you looked at the loss to Arizona, Nick Bosa had maybe his most politician answer of all time. You know, I could go either way. Nick Snyder's going to come back, or Nick Sorensen's going to come back. And I think that was pretty much the nail in the coffin for me. This defense took such a step back from a year ago. When we think about where the Niners were at the end of the Super Bowl and how Steve Wilks felt like the most hated man in the Bay Area, I think people would have begged him on their knees to get Steve Wilks back midway through the season. That's how bad this defense was.
Don't even get me started on that, Matt. Do not get me started on the Steve Wilks thing. Go ahead, Sasky.
When you talk to Sorensen, like, did he ever say anything insightful? I'm just curious, because, like, every time I saw him, he just looked like he rolled out of bed. And look, not everyone's going to be hyped up like me. I get that. My brother's way more chill than I am. But, man, he just, we're going to try. And, like, did he ever captivate the room at all?
I think Nick Sorensen, the way he answered questions at the very least, there wasn't a lot of depth and insight. I don't think that speaks to him as a person necessarily.
No.
But, I mean, it was odd that Steve Wilks was a guy that, like, didn't bring a lot of fire, and he coached from the box, and everyone was like, we got to get this guy on the field. There's more energy when you're on the field. Because really what they were searching for was Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, because that's the kind of fire that they coached with. Nick Sorensen didn't give that vibe off to me. He kind of gives off, like, surfer Cali vibe.
Spicoli.
This very mellow, laid back. That's kind of the Nick Sorensen that I got the impression of. I was surprised when they hired him. I understood why they did. Steve Wilks was a foreign hire outside the Niners system. They wanted somebody who knew what Saleh and D'Amico did. And so that's why Sorensen ended up getting the job. But I'm not all that surprised that a year later we're sitting here and they still need a defensive coordinator.
That's embarrassing, considering that Steve Wilks' defense wasn't even all that bad. You consider all the takeaways they had in 2023. Why are you smirking? It wasn't that bad. It wasn't even that bad. And in the Super Bowl, he was probably the best coach on the field for the 49ers.
Until he had to throw the iPad.
Well, that's, you know, Shanahan, well, just, somebody needs to be scapegoated anyway. So Swords is God. Brian Snyder's God. Do you think, and I know Shanahan and Lynch will speak today at 11:30, if I'm not mistaken. They're gonna speak at 11:30. Do you think they would consider a scheme change defensively and move away from the wide nine?
I think you have to. It clearly didn't work this year. You see how effective that defense is when Nick Bosa is hurt. You're rushing four guys consistently. No one's getting pressure. Blitzes were you know, really infrequent this year in times where it didn't make sense, where you knew they needed to blitz. The personnel was not there this year for the wide nine. And I think when you look at some of the candidates, especially a guy like Lou Anarumo, potentially Dennis Allen, if they want to bring a new style to San Francisco, you have to welcome that with open arms. And, you know, maybe if a guy like Fred Warner steps up and goes, no, we got it. We got to stay the same. Okay. I would listen to him. I would listen to Bosa, but I don't see that being the case. I think those guys were so frustrated this year. They are desperate to try whatever is going to work and whatever is going to get them back to the team that they were.
So it's interesting because, like, one of the names that Jacina Anderson said this morning, she covers the NFL, was like, oh, they're going to reach out to Robert Saleh. And I'm going, oh, don't go back down that road. Not that I don't like Saleh. He's a nice guy, but I just think they need to change it up. When you heard that they were going after Robert Saleh, what'd you think?
I think that's sort of been the rumor all along. God, you go on Twitter, everyone, their mother and their 10 kids want Robert Saleh. They're willing to build Robert Saleh a house to bring him back as the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Here's, you know, it was a different personnel when Robert Saleh was here, arguably a better one. Here's my big thing on Saleh. I don't think everything that happened in New York was his fault. The guy who's running that organization is a clown. He truly had no real control. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, it gets even worse. Robert Saleh had a couple really good seasons in New York as a head coach, and it didn't end well. All right. But he's getting head coaching jobs interviews right now. If he comes into this building, turns around this defense, he gets a head coaching job next year. At that point, you would be looking for your fifth defensive coordinator in 5 years. Is that beneficial?
No.
Or do you look at someone like Jeff Ulbrich, Anarumo, Dennis Allen, who's now flamed out twice as a head coach but is a fantastic defensive coordinator? Do you look at someone who you could actually have for a long-term stay? They need a consistent voice. And it wasn't their fault that Saleh left the first time. And D'Amico Ryans burst onto the scene and has been great in Houston. But now you need someone who's going to be the defensive coordinator and just wants to be the defensive coordinator for a couple of years at the very least. And so I think the biggest issue with bringing Saleh back in is that he's going to flee for a head coaching job.
Yep. And Arumo, Sweet Lou from Cincinnati, also he interviewed for head coaching jobs as well. What about a guy like Wink Martindale? That's what I want. I want Wink Martindale from Michigan. Matt Lively, KPIX sports anchor, does a hell of a job there. Drake Greenlaw, we'll get to Charvarius Ware because it feels like he's moving on. What are you feeling about Drake Greenlaw being back? Do you think he's basically played his last snap with the 49ers? What was the sit you got in the locker room the other day when it came to Drake Greenlaw?
It was tough only because Dre wasn't in the locker room, and I was hoping he was going to be because, you know, he's probably prime suspect number one of who you want to ask, are you coming back? Mooney Ward was passing around jerseys and having them signed by guys,
yeah,
if that gives you an indication.
Yeah,
you know, when we asked Fred about Dre, Fred is an extension of the PR team in a lot of ways. He knows how to answer a question, so we weren't getting a whole lot from him. I think it would be such a massive mistake to not get Dre Greenlaw back. I mean, I can't point to any other player, even though, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, guys who missed time, when I think of the biggest weakness of the 49ers, it was not having Dre Greenlaw in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Fred Warner was having to overcompensate so many ways because he didn't have Dre next to him. And in that first half against L.A., you see just how dominant he still was. And I get it, he's going to be injury prone, but the rumor that came out yesterday is teams are going to offer him $14 to $17 million a year. The Niners would really have to pony up to pay Dre Greenlaw, but I think it's a mistake if they don't.
Damn.
And I know they've gotten into trouble by extending some of these guys that they shouldn't have, but we're talking about a game-changing player who just bleeds red and gold.
Wow. I mean, so Matt, that begs to, I mean, everybody gets angry when you bring it up, but like when you pay the quarterback, sometimes you can't pay everybody else. Like, is Dre Greenlaw going to be the first domino of the Purdy, you know, card being laid down?
And that's where it's tough. And I ask a lot of these people who don't want to pay Purdy, and maybe this isn't the right excuse, but what's the other option? I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I think Brock Purdy will be someone's franchise quarterback. I do think he will sign with the Niners. Do I think he needs $60 million a year? Probably not. And I think this year hurt the millions that he's going to get. As far as who they're bringing back and who they're not bringing back because of Brock's contract, they need to, one, get creative with that contract. Two, you do lose, you know, Mooney Ward. You're not going to pay him next year. Talanoa Hufanga, possibly not back next year. They're able to cut Javon Hargrave. Maybe they trade Deebo Samuel. I do think there's a way where they're able to keep Brock Purdy and extend Brock Purdy and then also bring back Dre Greenlaw. I don't think there's going to be massive free agency splashes this year when you look at the salary cap, but they've got to figure a way to bring those two back at minimum.
Was Deebo around the talk? I didn't see any quotes from Deebo Samuel.
He was. It was short and it was sweet. He was asked if he plans on being a 49er next year, and he very quickly said yes. Says that he hasn't heard otherwise. But, you know, this time last year, we didn't think a whole lot about Deebo not being a 49er this season. And after the Super Bowl, the rumors exploded, and right around the trade or the NFL draft, all the trades that were rumored, and then they draft what seems to be his replacement in Ricky Pearsall, who those two have a great relationship, so it could muddy the waters if you end up trading Deebo, but I have to assume they're taking phone calls on him at the very least.
All right, so I saw a rumor online saying that Schneider, the special teams coach, was the one who worked out all the kickers pre-draft and was heavily influential in them drafting Jake Moody. Is there any substance to that?
I mean, I think while I couldn't confirm or deny that off firsthand knowledge of a source, doesn't it make sense? You want your special teams coach to try out kickers. And I don't think it's crazy that the Niners took Jake Moody. Maybe as high as they did, it's crazy. Jake Moody was an incredible college kicker at Michigan. And I actually truly believe Jake Moody will not be a 49er next year. I do believe that. But I think he's going to have a pretty good career with another team. But it's very clear he needs a fresh start. After his injury, which I think you can pin a lot of these kicks on, he was horrible. But I think once he's healthy, he's a pretty good kicker. It did not help that Deebo and him had the spat on the sideline, that he misses big pressure kicks and he loses the confidence of the fan base. He needs to go somewhere else and have a fresh start. I think Jake Moody was probably the least of Brian Schneider's problems. This is the most telling stat. The way that you really evaluate special teams is expected points added. They were negative 47 this year. Negative 47. The next closest team, which is dead last, by the way, the next closest team was negative 23. There's a 24-point cushion between the 31st-ranked special teams team and the 32nd. And for whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan refused to budge off of this idea that they were fine on special teams and the personnel was changing. That was the biggest mistake this season. That's probably my biggest red mark on Kyle Shanahan this season, was not figuring out this special teams thing back in week 5. This was an easy one to fix, and it just never happened.
Matt, before we let you go, what do you expect to hear from Shanahan to Lynch today down to Santa Clara at 11:30?
I don't know. And I say that because last year after the Super Bowl, we were told the coaches were coming back. They fired Steve Wilks about 2 days later. It would be nice to have maybe a little indication on where they're going in terms of the DC search, but they, you know, why would they release that information to us?
Right.
So I do think, you know, it's happening at 11:30. I think a lot of people are going, all right, we're going to finally get some answers. I really don't think that's the case. Had the DC not been fired yet, maybe there would have been some explanation for that. But at this point, we are now in sit and wait mode of, we'll see who they hire. We'll probably get a good explanation of if Nick Sorensen's going to stay in the building in another capacity. And that's probably what I expect to hear, is why they ended up making that move and what his role will be moving forward, because it sounds like they're not firing him. They're just moving him off the DC position. But if I'm a fan right now, I'm not expecting Kyle Shanahan to go, yep, Saleh is here. He's signing a lease for his home. You know, he's getting a mortgage set up. You know, don't expect that to happen today.
Matt Liley, KPIX, Channel 5, will be down to Santa Clara for Shanahan to Lynch at 11:30. Thanks, as always, for the time, Matt. Matt is always good. So Debo was quick. I didn't even know Debo talked. I didn't see anything about Debo. I didn't see anything. So see what happens with him.
Like usual suspects. And like that, he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. T.O., by the way, brought up Debo. He said he had a conversation with him after the whole...
Oh, yeah? Fashion conversation? Yeah,
he said his fashion needs to... He needs to step his game up with fashion. But he had a grown man talk after Debo said he seems like he's more worried about his fashion than actually playing. And then when you go on social media and you say that you want the ball, you're not getting the ball enough, and next thing you know, you drop the ball or you fumble the ball, it's not a good look. So Debo's interesting. The defensive coordinator is interesting, obviously. Special teams coordinator is not. But number one is going to be Brock Purdy around these parts. And I want you to react to this. Ross Tucker, I was listening to this in the car. Ross Tucker was starting to goo yesterday on Brock Purdy's contract comments. This is what Ross Tucker took away for Brock Purdy's contract comments.
He's already kind of putting it out there and bowing up on the Niners a little bit, saying, because is he going to skip the mandatory minicamp? Is he going to skip training camp and then they could fine him? He is under contract. So I thought that was very, very telling that Brock is already putting that out there, that he wants it done or else he's not going to attend the OTAs, even though he's under contract.
You're asking my reaction to that? I listened to what Purdy said, and I thought Purdy was just making the case for himself. Felt like it was coming from his agent. All right, this is what they're going to ask you, and this is what you say. I'm young. I still have a lot of room to grow. I want to be ready for OTAs. I want to get it done now. If anything, it felt like he was – I didn't think he was demanding that he was going to – or threatening that he was going to sit out or whatever. I think he was just laying it all out there from his point of view. I didn't think there was anything egregious with anything Purdy said, and nor did I feel threatened in any way. It's just, this is how it goes.
That was Ross' takeaway, saying that he's kind of put his line in the sand.
Did you feel that?
He wants to get it done right away.
Oh, great.
He wants to get it done right away, because if it doesn't they get done do. Right away, but if it doesn't get done right away, then we have another situation.
Well, this is the first time, to Ross's point, and he made it. He's like, this is the first time he's actually kind of talked about
right.
it. So that's why it was interesting on that front, where he's like, I want to get this done, like, now.
Right. Get it done now, because I don't want to miss OTAs. Because then, if I miss OTAs, here comes the reports, here comes the drama. All of a sudden, Shanahan's thinking, what the hell, I don't have my quarterback. Do I get my wandering guy again? Do I go out there and go get somebody else? Because if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm not stepping on the field at OTAs without a new deal. I understand it from Brock Purdy's standpoint. From the player's standpoint, you step on that football field, you re-injure something, you're not seeing anybody. So, from the player perspective, I get it from Brock Purdy's view.
Yeah, but I'm we just went through this with Ayuk, and like,
well, that's why you said I want to get it
buyer
done.
Regret, like, immediately. You know what I mean? Giving him the money. I don't know. This is a tough one, man. And it's not like it's like a linebacker deal, like 15 to 17 million a year for Dre Greenlaw. It's like, wow. Like when I heard that, I was like, damn, that is a lot for a linebacker,
a lot.
Right? Like it is. Now I know the salary cap goes up and whatnot. Now, like, okay, if that means like. To me, if the Niners are already kind of signaling there's just no way in hell that they're even going to be entertaining Dre Greenlaw, like, That stings. And that is the first of, I'm sure, a couple of different guys that you won't be able to afford moving forward when your quarterback is now making 12 or 15% of the salary cap as opposed to less than half of a percent, which is what he's been the last couple of years. So, God, it stinks. But, it just does. And that's, and again, the window to win the championship was when he was making a half a percent of the salary cap. You know, like, it sucks. This really sucks.
He does have a little bit of leverage here, though. Because if he decides not to go to OTAs, what do the 49ers do? How do they respond?
Well, if the OTAs are after the draft, which I believe they are, they're early spring, it's like April. I believe the draft is April 20th-ish, you know? When are OTAs? It's usually early spring.
I'll get the exact date here.
Like late April, early May, I want to say.
Don't you understand it? I know you're kind of out all players asking for money, but you kind of understand that if Brock Purdy, in his position, making $1 million.
Okay, yeah. You know what I tell him? And this, you want to know the businessman in me? Go find that trade. You showed me what team is giving you $250 million, all right, and trading for you. Like, I get the point of, like, I'm not going to play. And this, you're also under contract, and we also have the franchise tag in our back pocket. And this is a lot of money. This isn't a one-year deal. This isn't a two-year deal. This is probably a multi-year deal with a starting point of $100 million guaranteed, right? Forget the AAV. It's $100 million guaranteed. Yeah, I'm pretty precautious. Hey, I want to see him throw in a month and a half, see where his shoulder's at. I want to get a good feel for his elbow and his shoulder and all that, and I want to make sure that the medical lines up because you kind of whiffed on the medical with CMC.
Yeah. The dates from last season when it comes to OTAs, they started April 15th.
Oh, so it's April before
15th,
the draft.
April 15th, and then OTA offseason workouts, May 20th, 21st, May 23rd, May 28th, 29th, May 31st, and mandatory minicamp June 4th and 6th. So if you do play that game, and we don't know if Brandon Allen's going to be back or Josh Dobbs.
Who knows?
Who knows who the hell's going to be? Tanner Mordecai's going to be taking the starting quarterback reps in OTAs? That's what I'm saying. You know, it sounds funny. But do you want to play that game with the quarterback? Do you want to play that game with the quarterback? What would Niner fans do? 888-957.
I watched Lamar Jackson get dragged it out by the Baltimore Ravens. He's one of the greatest players the sport has ever seen. And we're over here like, no, oh my God, oh, heaven forbid Brock Purdy miss a couple practices. Because we have to bend to him. It's like, I'm a little more reasonable in this situation. Like, I thought the way Baltimore handled it, like, it felt a little, like, odd. Like, man, why are you dragging this out? And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, it worked out for all parties.
They almost played themselves. And because of rhetoric around Lamar during the time, a lot of people didn't think he was this great player. They thought, oh, it was a gimmick. He can't throw from the pocket. He can't do this. He can't do that. That was 2 years ago. We're good off him. We're gonna have to shift our old offense, and yeah, we're not gonna do that.
Just had 50 touchdowns, like 6,000 all-purpose yards, or
this
whatever
season.
It is.
Yeah, this season.
He's amazing.
I agree with you 100%. I'm discussing when it was actually going down.
Yeah.
During his free agency, and what the talk was surrounding Lamar Jackson. The talk surrounding Lamar Jackson when he was holding out and Baltimore was playing that game was he can't throw from the pocket. Forget Lamar. This and that. The dialogue was completely different. Now that he's done everything, yeah, we know he's great, but some people didn't think he was great 2 years ago.
Can we at least acknowledge this? These mega deals, even if you have an out or whatever, they almost all have 2 and 3 years of big, 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 big guarantees. This is a huge deal. This isn't just a no-brainer. I know everyone thinks it's a no-brainer. I think this is there is some back and forth here.
What would you do? Would you give
I
him
told
a big
you
payday?
What I'd do. I would sit here and I would be like, all right, who am I competing with for his services? I've already overpaid for my left tackle. I overpaid for my wide receiver. I overpaid for my running back. And I kind of regret all those. And I think those guys had more leverage and more suitors than even he has. But this position is more important. And this position costs me more, right? So I just think it's okay to be pragmatic about it and just reasonable and allow to breathe a little. Okay, if I got to pay him 10 more million guaranteed because it dragged out an extra 4 weeks. It's not the worst thing in the world. Now, if this bleeds into July, now we've got problems. But at the same time, be like, I want them to make sure that he is the right guy. And I think that they got their own. I'm not saying they're fully out. I think they've got some doubts. And they should. Like, there are some flags here. If you can't throw for the next month and a half, which is what has been reported, he said it, all right? Like, all right, man, come on, man. It's an elbow, shoulder. Let's find out what's going on there. Let's just find out what's going on there. All right, secondarily, you know, if I can save myself $20 million, $30 million, $40 million guaranteed, I can get an extra.